joining us this afternoon. Well, you got a grin on your face. Are you as relieved? Well, I don't want to say anything because there's still another, 9-hour potential for something else to happen today. But it's just been a rough year.
Yeah, it's been a tough year.
So what's the smile about? 13 or 12?
No, that it is over.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you're right. I just have a few more documents to sign, and that'll do it. And it's been nice to get it behind us.
Oh, good deal. This afternoon, we're going to do the first of two. We're going to have Rob with us live today, and then we're going to, right after that, do part deux for tomorrow.
Excellent.
That was a deer reference.
Yeah, I know. That was French.
No, that wasn't French at all. So this show, we'll talk about what was. Tomorrow, we'll talk about what's coming around the corner.
Excellent.
All right. A little bit of focus on this show. I know that's revolutionary, but we'll get our grips around it when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of The Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say. It's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley, but before we do, our quote this afternoon.
And tomorrow, I'm going to just tip my hand because it's appropriate for both looking backwards and looking forward. And it's as follows. And this is a Rob Arkley original.
Oh, can we have a drum roll, please?
Yes. Representation without taxation quickly leads to tyranny. Aren't those great? Isn't that true?
I think your drumming was a little weak.
I'll tell you what, we don't have enough people paying taxes in California. All they're doing is continuing to raise the burden on a few, and they're going to lose citizens, and they are.
Has it been, I guess we'll go in reverse order, so we'll start December and go backwards. Has it been interesting to you the discussions about the whole concept with a fiscal implosion, cliff, blah, blah, blah. My understanding, as limited as it is, and I've done a little bit of reading over the weekend, is that it's 1 or 2% is what the takeout of the economy would be if they don't patch it, put something together, et cetera, et cetera. It seems like an awful lot of teeth gnashing for 1 or 2% when you look at the military and what they've been cut back. And a bunch of other sectors and what other communities have dealt with, 1 or 2%, I think a lot of us would sign up for that and say, yeah, make it retroactive 3 years ago. I'll sacrifice 1% of where I was there and be very happy. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
So is it just that they got all of this is happening inside the glass house?
Yeah. Don't you think we've lost control of the discussion? You see, the fiscal cliff is going to result in a net increase in spending and a net increase in taxes. The taxes won't be enough to offset the increase in spending. We are on such an unsustainable course. It's unbelievable.
But it doesn't seem to be recognizable either, at least by the majority of the folks that are setting policy.
Precisely, but they seem to represent the the Democrats represent, admittedly, low-information voters, translate it into single women under 30, blacks, Hispanics. Those are their three big voting blocks. And that's who he cynically splintered into his group to be elected. That group does not pay taxes for the most part. Yet they run our government. So when you don't pay taxes, you don't care if taxes go up on someone else because your lifestyle's better because you get a little more money and you're not paying anything anyway. So it's a total conflict of interest to have representation without taxation.
So why is there such concern nationally about this fiscal cliff?
I don't think intelligent financial people are at all concerned. I think intelligent—
But the news guys are all leading with it. Many of them aren't dummies.
Yes, they are. Or they're either dummies or they are committed to the Democrat Party line. I don't know. I don't think these are. I don't think there's a well thought out course of action out there. I mean, we can't. It's not the deficit. It's the accumulated deficit that is our big problem with no path to solution. The entitlements are growing logarithmically on both a state, national, and local level. It's just totally unsustainable.
So you don't think that there's a big plan on this? We're just lily pad hopping in the pond?
Yeah, I think we are. What's the walking along with a blindfold on? So hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. I don't think there's a serious dialogue going on. Obama most certainly is not serious about it. I mean, he does not want to cut spending.
Did you see? Oh boy, what was it? Forgot the source. I heard it last night, and then I saw it. The increases that Congress is getting themselves.
Yeah, no. Keep in mind,
or is it the senior leadership? I mean, there was some federal.
No, Obama did it with an executive order. Didn't even go through the budget process. Just signed a piece of paper and said, "Here, President and legislators, you all get raises." I mean, here they are not able
to
deal
with like $175,000.
Yeah, here they are not doing anything constructive that I can identify, and he unilaterally gave them raises. I mean, shouldn't they lead by example? I mean, wouldn't a cut in pay be kind of appropriate at this point where we find ourselves?
Or at least the amount of vacation. I love the argument that's been going on the last week. Oh, well, they're going to have to come back from their vacation.
What?
Vacation? Pardon me? How can you take a vacation if you're leaving the fire,
the people,
roaring? How can you leave?
The people's work is not done.
Well, there you go.
There we are.
Now, that's not an Arkley quote, is it?
No.
Whose was it?
You know, it was the that head
John Garamendi?
It was Garamendi or one of those that was Schwarzenegger's great adversaries, and he talked about the assembly being the people's body and not the state senate. This is the people's body, and we're doing the people's work.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. 5 years ago, Mark and Lori Sanchez hit upon an idea: gift baskets of Humboldt-made food products that folks could send to family and friends here or in distant places. They coined the name Humboldtious for their collection, and their company, Bella Baskets, took off. Today they have regular customers in all 50 states and 14 countries. One man in Point Barrow, Alaska, regularly orders a meat sauce. A film company in Ontario, Canada, orders barbecue sauce for its catering department. This Christmas season, Mark and Lori expect to sell 700 Bella Baskets. Their taste treats include such things as canned albacore, honey, barbecue sauces, hot sauces, jams, pralined almonds, coffee, and chocolate. All Humboldt County products. Based in Old Town, their business continues to grow, and, just as important, it's bringing outside money into our economy. Their website is bella-basket.com. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and activities that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, if we step back out of December a little bit and the financial cliff and the shenanigans that are or are not going on right now, when I use the word shenanigan, I feel like there's an outcome. We may not like the way that the sausage was made to make the sausage.
Yeah.
But the sausage got made.
And it's a preordained outcome.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's particularly shocked by what's going
on.
No,
it seems like it's the same game. Certainly the elections this year
right.
would be a significant something.
Oh, they were very significant, very significant.
While the outcome may not be something that some may not feel comfortable with, was the process of the election healthy?
You know, that's a great question. Don't you feel you're in the media? You are the media. Do you feel like the media as part of the process did its job in the election, or do you feel like for the most part it was an open wing of advocacy?
See, I don't know what the media does anymore.
You're saying there's a death of journalism?
I'm saying that the standards have been weakened so badly, I'm not sure that the building's even standing anymore.
Yeah, it's just advocacy at some
level. So you got one side going to their side and the other side going to the other side. I don't see that there really is a neutrality. The one gal, when she jumped in and tried to correct Romney.
Oh, Candy Crowley, yeah.
You know, trying to be neutral. However, if things go off the track slightly.
We'll take care of you, baby.
Can't handle it.
Yeah.
And have to react then emotionally rather than logically. And I see the media's role is supposed to be very logical, not emotional. Commentary is separate for me than journalism.
Of course.
Okay, and so the editorializing, okay, that's over on the side. I don't see Edward R. Murrow alive and well anywhere, and I don't think even if you mentioned Murrow's boys to anybody under 40 in the news media, I don't know if they would even recognize what was being referenced.
Of course, you're a journalism guy. Now, my question is...
No, I'm a CBS guy.
But didn't you feel that journalism was a sacred pursuit?
There was a greater cause, yes.
And it was a cause for exposing both sides of an issue, and it was a search towards letting people determine the truth.
Truth for the society, for the culture. Yeah,
yeah, I feel it's advocacy, and it's unfortunate. And
too many adjectives and too many adverbs.
There really are.
And that's what I look at.
So was the process good? I think the process was the splintering of the country by race, by socioeconomic. I thought will not benefit us long run. You're seeing a...
But yet you had how many candidates for the Republican nomination that had some traction? 7, 8?
Yeah, I think so.
Lots of discussion.
Right.
Lots of things being thrown out there. A lot of vetting that was going on. May not have been...
A lot of money being spent and not doing the work, yes.
Well, and that's the thing that I got out of it was the dollars that were invested, quote-unquote invested, seemed to be just thrown at the wall instead of really doing something or saying something.
There was nothing surgical by the Republicans. The Democrats were surgical. And they deserve to be congratulated for that.
Do you think the country, since you're kind of more of a bon vivant kind of guy,
yeah, so
there's
right.
that French word.
There we go.
I could have said vanilla, huh? French vanilla.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
The recognition by a lot of us that there are only 3 or 4 states, and within those states, there's only 5 or 6 counties that really mattered, that I think was a bit of an eye-opener. That the science of electioneering had become so finite.
It was, I think that's healthy. I kind of like that. I like that exposure. Do I feel like we largely were overlooked in California because it was such a given? Yes.
West Coast, west of the Rockies?
I guess that's right. It's hard to argue. Yeah, you're right. No, but I don't think the exposure of ideas is bad. What I don't like is the cynical way in which the country was divided. I really don't like that.
So if we
let me ask you a question. How could whites be possibly termed racist after 97% of the blacks voted one way? How can a white ever be a racist given that 97% of the population of blacks voted for Obama?
If you don't know that.
Well, no, that's
racism. It's an emotional charge.
But it's pure racism.
You don't have response.
Yeah, yeah, I guess racism is one of those words that may have lost its
zing. Kind of flares, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if that was at the federal level, what we've been talking about, what about the congressional and the Senate races? Not too much changed.
Well, the Senate.
But the discussions changed.
I think the Senate was. Democrats were greatly benefited by the Republican primary process, where extremely conservative candidates were fielded by the Republicans in an open primary context, or in a primary context, making the Democrats' chances better. On the other hand, the Republicans did a great job of redistricting, and that majority is pretty darn solid. I think the Republicans are in awfully good shape, and you can see them taking hard lines in the House based on the fact that they've got very safe districts.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
Santa's been to Palco Pharmacy with a full bag overflowing with great ideas. For Christmas season entertaining, you'll find seasonal dishes and glassware for a wonderful festive event. There's some dancing mice and fun figurines that seem to have captured the essence of Christmas joy and fun. And don't forget those very special Christmas cards for loved ones and family members. Those are also available for you. Santa's been there, and now it's your turn to go to Palco Pharmacy in the Scotia Shopping Center, your center for pharmacy and gift ideas this Christmas.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, the first half of the year of 2012, what do you think? Was there anything really monumental in there, or was it more of survivalist mentality?
Actually, I think a lot of repair was done to the economy in 2012 early and towards the end of 2012. It is improving. Corporate balance sheets are improving. The big problem that we're seeing, we saw at the beginning of 2012, and it got distorted somewhat towards the election, but it's going to become more obvious, is boy, are businesses figuring out how not to hire people and do the same amount of business or more. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's the way businesses are approaching things now. I know we are certainly doing that.
If employment is still key to the economy, doesn't what you just said prolong the, I guess we call it a recession, I don't know, economic flatness, I don't know, whatever it's called, consumer confidence? Hooked to employment.
Well, to, the Democrats.
I don't sense that there's a bubbling up of entrepreneur spirit and attitude and desire right now.
Well, no, it's regulated. The Democrats have been very successful at saying that actually unemployment benefits are good for the economy. I mean, the fact is it's a zero sum game. I just don't quite understand what they're saying, but the economy is one of those things where we're going to live through an energy boom unlike anyone's ever dreamt, and manufacturing
is that going to be the story of 12. Energy in the Midwest and some of these things now.
It's not very well publicized, but it should be. Brian, you and I have been talking about it for a couple of years now because it will be a growing story.
When you look at the Midwest, and that's where the employment is hardly in existence, people are moving to, businesses are expanding into, it's not like the weather's gotten any better. So what is going on here? And the only consistency through all that region is energy.
Right. But it's fascinating.
Traditional energy.
Yeah, traditional energy, fossil fuel type energy. I had a day-long meeting with a person the other day, and she was fascinating to listen to because she would rather have energy go up five times than frack. Somehow they're totally believing that groundwater is going to get wrecked, and if not groundwater, then aquifers, and if not aquifers, some other thing. In other words, it was fascinating to listen to the reasons. As quickly as you debunked one, the next one, another arrow came out of the quiver.
Kind of like a dominoes.
But I do think what you're also going to see, Bri, is in these states that do have the energy, is you're going to see manufacturing plants go there because
cheap, or
well, labor's. Even though it's higher labor, it will be the cost of importing will be greater than the cost of labor increase. And so I think you're going to see manufacturing migrate more close to the back to the United States.
To the United States or to the Midwest of the United States?
Midwest. I mean, who wants to start? Seriously, do you really want to start a business in California?
Pick a coastline. I mean, everybody's in that same boat now, too. So it's almost de facto. And you got Detroit with affordable housing being redefined as really, truly affordable.
Yeah, $1,000. Of course, I wish there would be a discussion on the fact under Democrat leadership or blue state leadership that the cities are imploding, can't afford their pensions, can't afford anything. Detroit is just the most recent poster child. It's hardly unique. But it is interesting to me where I don't know that we're all going to grow into these cities. I'm not sure the cities have seen their best days. They're crumbling. The infrastructure's not there. And fundamentally, do many people really want to live in these big cities, in these grimy areas, in this poverty?
There are probably...
They may not know any different, but do they really... Yeah. Given an objective, gee, you can live in North Dakota. Yeah, there aren't as many homeboys there. But at the same time, you will have a job steadily and this and that. So what you're really seeing is...
I think if there's economic reality...
Yeah. Right now, it's totally... The model's distorted now. You're right.
Yeah. But there's still the lure of living in a San Francisco for about 6 months. And then you realize
when the
what that means.
When the Giants are winning, why not?
Okay. Periodically, it's attractive.
Yeah.
Who logically would want to live in Los Angeles? Truly logically, unless there
people
was
who live in Malibu.
The lure, yeah, okay, of coast. Right, yeah. Thong bikinis, fine. Okay, we'll leave this one on that.
Yeah.
KINS. People who belong in thong bikinis, wearing thong bikinis, not you or me.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
you
no,
and
that
I,
would
no.
be, yeah.
No.
The Arctic tundra
yeah.
for us, yeah. It's 3:42, we'll be back.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46, couple minutes left. Boy, for the year.
For the year, that's it.
Yeah. With Rob Barkley. Well, that sounds rather sudden and dramatic.
This is a fine year to put in the rearview mirror. And so,
you know, it's almost a relief
to
get through 12, I guess would be the simplest way. What is the best single thing for you that's coming out of 12?
Our daughter got married Friday to a wonderful young man.
Okay, let me rephrase.
All right.
What is the best single thing from your perspective for the country that came, now it might be the same answer, that came out of 2012?
I think corporate balance sheets continued to improve. I think the banks are enormously opaque and we have no idea what they're doing. And the risk is so systemic and so great, we just don't have the slightest idea what's going on. So the best thing that came out is corporate balance sheets improved themselves. The banks became more opaque yet.
Is it translating to Main Street?
I don't know. Obviously, I'm hoping so. I do think a lot of businesses are starting. A lot of businesses are thinking through new ways to do things. So is the innovation and the cash and the conservative basis of starting new businesses and running your business, operating your business, growing? Yes. Is banking a good business? I think banking is a hard, awful business right now. I really do.
So what's a fun business?
I kind of like mortgage servicing right now. I think home builders are going to have have had 5 years of real misery, but I can see some flickering good times there.
Yeah, they're talking about sales
happening. Yeah, I think there's a mini lumber boom going on. I think the mills are all doing really well right now, even though when they're not complaining, you know they're doing great. That's kind of my rule of thumb. And so, and that's good for us all. And so I see lots of bright spots.
Yeah, I figure when Eel River starts with timber again.
Yeah. You're right.
Wasn't that a stunner?
Oh. Well, I
mean, in hindsight, yeah.
Well, I think you're not going to see more mills. I think what you're going to see is more exports. In other words, I think the mills are supplying the demand for lumber pretty well, and they're having to drive up the log prices to compete with the exports. So that you're not going to see more mills come on. I just don't see new mills. Land is timber's held by too few people, a bunch of different issues. They couldn't have a log supply.
What I'm hoping for is that the Eel River sawmill site will be used by somebody for something. It just is sitting there. It's so visible. Not being used legally,
yeah.
and it's such part of the memory that a lot of us have.
Well, it's a beautiful piece of property.
That thing being used,
and that
easy egress, it's all there.
It is, and it's that being used would be a great benefit for the area. It would be a real shot in the arm,
and you know, a little something for Southern Humboldt too.
Southern Humboldt does just fine.
Yeah. Let me be nice for a moment, huh?
I just think we live in a great place. It was an economy in transition, and the transition's pretty well behind us. I think we're...
You think?
I think we've got a lot of...
You think we're teed up?
Yeah, I think we're teed up. I do. I like it.
If nothing else, I think the show tomorrow now is teed up, because we'll be talking about...
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you're good in spite of yourself,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. I just happened to fall right into that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, good. Well, don't get too muddy, man. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Join us again tomorrow afternoon for Rob Part 2. I'll stick to English.
Do I?
All right. Fair enough. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow afternoon.